Ladies and gentlemen, Samuel Davies said, consider family worship or family religion. He put it, not merely as a duty imposed by authority, but as your greatest privilege granted by God's divine grace. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help all of your Christian people, even though early morning devotions and devotions at any time can seem cold and dry and hard for some to get started. Lord, help us to not see it as a drudgery or just as a duty, but as a privilege to be able to come before your throne of grace, just like you are faithful in bringing up the sun. Lord, help us to be faithful in getting up with the Son and to pray to you in the name of the Son, the S-O-N Son, Jesus Christ, and to read your holy word and help us to always count it as a privilege, not as a drudgery, or like some people think that they're doing you a favor or they're doing somebody else a favor, and that's just not the case. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would blast the devil out of that situation, out of that person's life who has this faulty thinking that they are doing you a favor by getting up and having family worship and family devotions. Lord God in heaven, I do pray that you would have mercy and grace upon everybody who thinks like that, and forgive them of their sins, and forgive all of us of our sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us, and whether we feel like it in the flesh or not, which we never will feel like doing something like this in the flesh, never, never, never. Lord, we know that we are moved by your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word to even think about praying and reading your holy word. We know the devil is not going to encourage us in that. He never has. He's tried to discourage us. And so, Lord, I do pray that you would fill us with the anointing, the unction, the freedom and the liberty, the power and the person of your Holy Spirit, and put a guard at our hearts, minds, tongues, attitudes, and temperaments, that everything we say, Lord, would be lifting you up and glorifying your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in either reading or reciting the Apostles' Creed if you do not know it, or you're kind of in between. You know it, but you don't know it completely, and you certainly don't know the new one that I had a hand in changing and making different, providing vital biblical information to it. You say, preacher, who do you think you are? Nobody. God just laid it on my heart to do it. And it's not sacred scripture. It's based upon the scripture. I believe in God the Father. Together, I believe Almighty, let's start all over. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. If you pay attention, these will be good reminders to your soul. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, a historical figure, was crucified, a historical fact, dead and buried. Everybody, he descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. Louder than equal. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Take that off. Take that off. Completely. Ladies and gentlemen, turn in your Bibles once again to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. A passage, a portion of a passage of scripture that we read as a family for 30 years every morning, along with other scripture passages, reading through the Bible. That is Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, where nobody is picking on anybody, where God is dealing with every member of the family. The husband and the fathers, wives and mothers, and children. So there's no need for you to get upset about it. It just happens to be your turn. Verse 23 reads, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Dr. David Guzik writes in his commentary on the Bible regarding this passage further, "The picture of the body shows how essential a Christian wife's submission is. We can sum it up thus. The teaching is that the initiative and the leadership are ultimately the husband's, but the action must always be coordinated." That is the meaning of this picture. Coordinated action, but leadership in the head. There is no sense of inferiority suggested by this. Let me repeat that. There is no sense of inferiority suggested by this order. The wife is not inferior to her husband. She is different, however. We see in this passage three reasons for a wife's submission to her husband. And by the way, with society trying foolishly, like the folks at the Tower of Babel trying to build a structure to get into heaven and go before God's throne, it is foolishness for people in our world, in our society, constantly trying to say that there's no difference between man and woman. That's just a lie. And we have prime ministers of countries talking very stupidly. A lady was saying, using the word mankind, and the Prime Minister of Canada jumped up, waving his hands, and said, "No, we now say people kind, not mankind." We're getting ridiculous, folks. Trying our best not to recognize that there's a difference between man and woman, because God made there to be a difference. There always has been a difference. There's a difference now, and there always will be a difference. And I feel very sorry for you to try, for you, those of you trying to change that. It is part of her obedience to Jesus as to the Lord. It is appropriate to the order of creation. The husband is the head of the wife. It is appropriate because of the model of the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. It is appropriate because it is God's order. Sadly, most families have given up on God's order, and they have done their newfangled thing with great disaster. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we pray for every Christian family that you would heal every Christian family. And we pray that they would understand that their healing is in your holy word and brought about by obeying your divine order and doing it your way. Therein lies their healing. We also pray for the salvation of families that don't know you as Savior, Lord Jesus, and that you would open their blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and grant them household salvation and change the trajectory of their lives and of their families, as you did in my life and in the lives of my children who are all serving you. And I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. That's a far cry from what I came out of and what it produced. And I thank you for it. The power of the gospel to not only change our individual lives, but change the direction and the trajectory of of entire families and generations. That's what you have done down through the years. And you have brought light to the world, and we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And we pray that you would cause a revival of family devotions in the lives of your Christian people, and a revival in the family. For if there, as one man has stated, and as I have said before, I heard him, if there's no real revival in the family, there will never be any real revival in the church. Help us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Now, my beloved, please turn in your Bibles to our devotional passage, Psalm 107, verses 17 through 22. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. And then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works, my God, to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Are you doing that? Are you giving God thanks and praise for what he has done for you? Are you recognizing his wonder-working power in your life and in your family, that you would not be where you are if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side? Are you telling others about what he has done for you and that he can do the same for them? Are you a witness to God's power and to the grace of salvation through Jesus Christ? I hope you are. If not, why not? If not, start today. Now, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, if we knew no sin, we should know no sickness. Sinners are fools. They hurt their bodily health. I didn't say that now. Dr. Matthew Henry said that. They hurt their bodily health by intemperance. And that is a lack of self-control in every area, such as overeating, overdrinking, overpartying, overdoing anything is not good for you. Even the exercise masters will tell you overexercising is not good for you. How many try to get in shape too fast and end up with a stroke and with a heart attack? And only weigh 95 pounds. Overdoing it. There are some people who overdo it by undereating, not eating enough, and endanger their lives by indulging their appetites. This, their way, is their folly. The weakness of the body is the effect of sickness that comes from wickedness. We talked about this yesterday in another service, how that some people are sick because they're wicked. Sickness because of the wickedness. Evil, rebellious, stubborn, lying, living a lie. All of that is going to come out in sickness. It is by the power and mercy of God that we are recovered from any sickness. And it is our duty to be thankful to God. Amen, somebody. You know that you would not be here if it were not for the grace of God. And you need to be thankful to God about that. You need to give him praise. And believe it or not, one of the ways you can thank God is to tell other people about God and what he's done for you, that he can do the same for them. Be a witness for the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You have tasted and you know the Lord is good. Tell others to taste and see that the Lord is good. Can somebody say amen? Even in common cases of recovery from sickness, God in his providence speaks and it is done. This means that even when you are under the care of a great doctor and great nurses, as one time I had a family surrounding a family member surrounded by great doctors and great nurses. But that's God's providence. It's God's providence and God's grace and God's blessing that you end up in a good hospital and not in a hellhole hospital where they treat you like a prisoner. It's a beautiful thing when you get a good doctor and a good nurse. And God is the one who shows that favor. And every year since then, we've gone by to thank that hospital, to thank that ward, to thank those nurses. And we give God glory, praise, and honor for those people that he put in our lives to help us to get through. And God is the one who does that, is the whole point. By his word and spirit, the soul is restored to health and wholeness and holiness. Amen, somebody. Beloved, join me in praying for the estates. You know what the estates are now. Let's get to it. Holy Father God, we pray for your church. We pray for all church servant leaders. We pray for all denominational servant leaders. And we pray for all pastors and teachers and evangelists and missionaries. And we pray for all ministry workers in the pews, all of the volunteers who help in the ministry. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all governmental leaders as well. We pray for the president and all of his administration based upon your holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Holy Father God, we pray for President Donald Trump and his administration. We pray for his family. We pray for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Deputy Director of Management and Administration Monica J. Block, all leaders of federal agencies, including Postal Regulatory Commission Chairman Robert G. Taub, all state governors, including Maine Governor Paul LePage, and we pray for all city mayors, including Arlington, Texas Mayor Jeff Williams. We pray for all members of Congress, including New York Senator Chuck Schumer, all law enforcement officials, including Minneapolis, Minnesota Police Chief Janae Hatto, all military leaders, including General Glenn M. Walters, Assistant Commandant of the Marine Corps. We also pray for James Mad Dog Mattis, And we pray that you would continue to lead God and direct him in the way that he should go. And we pray for all leaders of nations around the world. We pray for Denmark's Queen, Margaret II, and Prime Minister, Lars Rasmussen. We commit these souls into your hands, and we pray that you would lead them, guide them, and direct them, give them wisdom far beyond their abilities and their years, knowledge and understanding. And we pray so that they can make right judgments and do right things to have peace in every society. We pray now for the people, the citizens. We pray that you would give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight, for they are the true leaders in every democracy. And we pray also for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon them and upon their families. And Lord, protect us all, surround us with the band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire, and help us to be law-abiding citizens in our communities and in our cities and in our nations and in the world. And Holy Father God, we pray now for both the traditional media and the new media, that they would, we pray that you would save those who are lost, revive and lead those who are saved, and help them all to tell the truth and to inform the people correctly, thus leading the people correctly, and not to make up things that are not true. And Holy Father God, we pray this morning for current events that are happening around the world. You're well aware of them, so we're not trying to inform you. We're just obeying you when you have told us to not only pray for ourselves, but to pray for others. And we pray for the recovery of the hundreds of wounded in the Taiwan earthquake. We pray for grace and strength and comfort for the survivors to get through this difficult time and to somehow rebuild, which will be a Herculean task in that area. No doubt we also pray that you would comfort the families who lost loved ones in this tragic situation. And we pray for the families of the two people killed in a train collision in South Carolina, for the recovery of the over 100 people who were injured. We pray for an end to the fighting in Syria, for the protection of civilians, and for the recovery of the devastated country. And Holy Father God, we pray for the prayer requests that have been sent into us. We thank you, Lord, that you have entrusted us with hundreds of people's prayer requests down through the years. And we pray now just for a few, but we by name, but we pray for all of them right now, and everybody who has sent in prayer requests. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon them. We pray that you'll hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers for them. Based upon your holy word, you said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And Lord, we thank you for that promise. And we pray specifically now for Tiffany. Please bless her husband to face all challenges in his work and give him peace of mind. We pray for courage and a God-fearing attitude. Please bless her son and her mother to have healthy lives. We also pray for Spencer. Please bless his mother with success, guidance, and protection in her small business. We pray for Rodwell. Help him to please you by working in the field you want him to work in. And Holy Father God, we pray for healing in their lives and in everybody's life, spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. We pray for Joe, we pray for Daisy, and we pray for Zach. Help them, help these to grow in the faith, and help us to be the disciplers of the disciples that you want us to be. We also pray for those who have recommitted their life to you through this ministry. We pray for Susan, we pray for Musisi, and we pray for O. Help these to stand strong in the faith and to not go back into a backslidden state. We also commit these souls into your hands, and we commit our souls into your hands, and let your will be done in our lives. We thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, your grace, and your favor. And we pray that you would continue to bless us with that, all of those things today. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Our devotional reading for today, ladies and gentlemen, is titled, What Makes God Smile? Part 7. From the Purpose Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. What makes God smile? He goes on to say, God also gains pleasure in watching you enjoy his creation. He gave you eyes to enjoy beauty, ears to enjoy sounds, your nose and taste buds to enjoy smells and tastes, and the nerves under your skin to enjoy touch. Every act of enjoyment becomes an act of worship when you thank God for it. Amen, somebody. You need to get a hold of this. In fact, the Bible says God generously gives us everything for our enjoyment because, and I'm adding this, God likes to see you enjoy things. He gets a blessing from it when he sees you enjoy things, just like I get a blessing hearing from my children when they're traveling and they're doing this and that, things that I have seen before, they get to see. And I remember how I felt when I saw those things for the first time as a young person or whatever the case might be. There are some things that I've allowed my children to eat once or twice because that's what I ate as a child and I enjoyed it as a child. For example, poisonous Cracker Jacks, we know it's not good for us, nothing but sugar, but I have allowed my children to have a box of Cracker Jacks once or twice because I wanted to see their faces when they ate it and see if they enjoyed it just like I did. Another thing I've allowed them to have once or twice is Kellogg's Frosted Flakes. Nothing with sugar. There's nothing with sugar. Nothing. But that was my favorite cereal as a boy. That cereal was so awesome to me as a boy that you didn't have to worry about me drinking the milk after the cereal was gone because there was nothing but sugar milk. So I've allowed my children. Oh, they loved it. You said, did they love it? Oh, yeah, they loved it. They wish they could have it every day like I did. And then another cereal is Captain Crunch. I loved it as a child. And once or twice I got them some Captain Crunch. And I may do that again. Because I don't think they've had Captain Crunch that much. Nothing but sugar. Nothing but sugar. Not good for you. But it's good to you. Anyway, God even enjoys watching you sleep. When my children were small, he said, I remember the deep satisfaction of watching them sleep. Sometimes the day had been filled with problems and disobedience, but sleep, they looked contented, secure, and peaceful, and I was reminded of how much I love them. And you know, anybody who's seen little children sleep particularly, there's nothing more beautiful than that. You know, some people out in the world who don't have children would say seeing a little puppy sleep would be better, but seeing a puppy sleep is beautiful, but it's not more beautiful than seeing your children sleep. Now, what is more beautiful than both of those things is seeing your child sleep with a little puppy. I added all of that, okay. My children, he said, didn't have to do anything for me to enjoy them. I was happy to just watch them breathing, because I loved them so much. As their little chests would rise and fall, I'd smile, and sometimes tears of joy filled my eyes. When you are sleeping, God gazes at you with love, because you were His idea. He loves you as if you were the only person on earth. And there's nothing more amazing, and I'm adding this, there's nothing more amazing in the world than the love of God. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love. And Lord, we only can hope that we're making you smile in return for your love towards us, Lord, which you have proven millions of times over. Help us to love you back and to give you glory, praise, and honor, and to make you smile indeed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, my beloved, if you're with us today and you don't know where you would go if you were to die today, heaven or hell, Jesus Christ has a word for you. He wants you to trust him as Savior. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Dear friend, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved from sin and the consequences of sin, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Believe that he died as the Lamb of God for your sins, a very serious matter. He was buried because he was truly dead. And then he rose again on the third day to save your soul. It's very simple. You do not have to join a church to be saved. You do not have to get baptized to be saved. You do not have to speak in some unknown tongue to be saved. You do not have to give any money to the church to be saved. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God made it very simple for you to be saved, that which was not simple and easy for him to do. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and for mine, to save us from hell. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from all of your sins and the punishment of your sins in hell. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, makes no difference who you are, how nasty you have been, or what evil you have done, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The thief on the cross was saved. He never came down and joined the church off the cross. He never came down from the cross and got baptized. He never came down and gave money to the church. He died on the cross. But Jesus had already told him, because of your faith in me, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's all it takes, my dear friends, faith in Christ. This is the most wonderful deal in the history of the world. Take advantage of it. It is most important. Pray and ask God to save your soul because of your faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer, phrase by phrase. Repeat after me and believe it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, as the sacrificial lamb who took away the sins of the world. I believe with all of my heart he was buried in a cold tomb or a cold grave, and he rose again on the third day. I believe this with all of my heart. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my wicked sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life, eternal life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, my dear friend, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven by the grace of God, not by anything you have done, but simple faith in Christ, who paid your sin debt, who shouldered your sin debt. He placed it upon himself, and he was whipped beyond recognition, humiliated before the world, blood dripping from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet for you and for me. Now, my dear friend, that is love. You've never had anybody to love you like that. That's why he deserves our worship and our praise. Your daddy didn't love you like that. Your mother didn't love you like that. Your siblings didn't love you like that. Your best friend didn't love you like that. Nobody in the history of the world has ever loved you like Jesus loved you. So welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. You've done the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Peace, love, and happiness.
I know he's coming back.
just like you said we would.